Well, my wife tried to get me to change clothes before I came here tonight, and I said, nah, I'm not going to speak tonight. He's not going to call on me. But he opened the box.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know, when you were talking about that little seed of corn, what if we had never seen an ear of corn? But yet you knew that ear of corn was predestinated, or perhaps pre-programmed, to bring forth an ear of corn. You knew it was supposed to do that, but you'd never seen one. That's where we are today. And Lynn talked about us being robbed by religion. Well, I've been robbed a lot by religion, but you know what? It was for a purpose.
Amen.
And I'm glad I was there.
Yes.
Because I learned so much about what not to do that it was quite an education. But
I'm in the mall for millennium. You like that? Millennium? Anybody driving that? Somebody may
have donated that. It's
worth. So, if you had never seen an ear of corn, yet you knew it was supposed to be something, well, you know, the problem with religion is they really don't know what we're supposed to look like.
Amen.
They know we're supposed to be sons of God. And they know we're supposed to manifest, but nobody's ever seen it. Well, I should say most people haven't seen it. But what does a son of God look like? Have you ever really? Now, when I say son of God, I'm talking about a full ear of corn. Very few people have ever seen the full ear of corn, spiritually speaking. And there's so much controversy today that we get involved in the controversy and we miss the point. There's people today who say we shouldn't have music in church. Or we shouldn't have entertainment. It should only be praise. And I guess that's up to your discernment whether or not it's worship or entertainment. And then, you know, a lot of people say today, well, we shouldn't worship Jesus. I mean, there's so many side issues. But yet we don't know what a full ear of corn looks like. We've been taught about it. And we try to read the Bible and figure out, you know, what we're supposed to do. And it's so true what Lynn said. The natural man does not understand the things of God. Job, I think it's 38, says about there's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Religion has told us that our purpose for being here is to do the best we can and then someday, you know, we'll be wherever God is. Whether that's heaven or Nirvana or whatever it is. Missed the whole purpose. The purpose for the seed is to become a full ear of corn. That's the purpose. I read a book recently, and I recommend all of you run as fast as you can and buy it. It's called The Door to Everything. And it's in very simple, understandable English. And I read something in there, of course I've known this, but sometimes you know you read a book and you hear somebody speak and it just becomes so clear. But in this little book it talked about the purpose of a caterpillar. The caterpillar probably had no comprehension about its destiny. Most of us haven't either. We've done the best we can with the information that we have and the studying that we've done. But see, our purpose, at least those of us have been brought up in religion, our purpose was to do the best we can. And then when we die, if we've been good enough, perhaps we'll get to go to that place wherever Jesus is or God is. But supposing the caterpillar had died before it became a butterfly and missed its purpose. For 1700, 1800, 1900, 6,000 years, people have been dying, not realizing their purpose. Because we haven't known about the full ear corn. We haven't even seen one. And maybe you have. Some have. We are much more than we've ever realized.
Yes.
There's only a small portion of us that is focused in this physical being. You're much more than you ever realized. And the whole purpose for this thing, it doesn't take study. I mean, if you want to know the secrets, it takes a heart that's desperate to know the truth. And a lot of times that involves study. This guy, I'll tell you what. Yeah, evidently, he studied a lot. But there, you can really come to the understanding of the full ear of corn if you never study. You really can.
Yes.
It has to be a matter of the heart. And you have to have a revelation of the true essence and nature of your being. You have to know. What is that seed of corn? That seed of corn. You know, the Bible, the information we have, the spiritual teachers we have, they all call it a seed. Because for me to tell you, or for anybody to tell people that have no understanding that they are God sitting here in human flesh is just too much to take. It's just too much to take. So we have to talk about seeds. But see, you are the seed. And when I say you, I don't mean that physical entity that, you know, we thought we were so for so many years. But you are that seed that's been focused in this physical body. And the purpose for you is not all the study and all the prayer and all the stuff that we go through to try to find God. The purpose is to let that seed, that essence of your being, manifest through this temple.
Amen.
And you can do that simply through unconditional love. I bet you thought I wasn't going to talk about that tonight. Just love. But you know what? That's so hard for us when we're religious. Because, well, just like tonight, there could be some sitting here that didn't like the music. Maybe you don't like Lynn. Probably wouldn't be here if that was true. But see, when that love begins to manifest in you, like Lynn said, everything changes. Your whole being changes. And you just love everything. And you have no requirements. Find me a religion, a church, an organization that doesn't put some kind of requirements on you. That's probably true here, because I know this guy. But see, they're in our makeup, in this natural makeup, there is a strong desire to control. And that's what religion is all about. It's all about control.
That's right.
And if it wasn't about control, they would be all accepting and all inclusive, and they wouldn't put up all these walls. But if you don't do it that way, then you have to go somewhere else where you can do it your way. And chances are, unless you're somewhat spiritually advanced, when you go out to do it your way, you just build some more walls. Because chances are, if you really had unconditional love before you went out, you probably wouldn't have to go anywhere.
Amen.
You could set right in. You could go in any church, any organization, any place today. And I think we're going to be doing that.
Amen.
I think we are.
Yes.
And if you don't have to have it your way, and if you could just, I'll tell you what, folks, our presence. I used to think, you know, you'd have to at least say something. No, you don't. Your presence in a place for a period of time will change the place. I haven't shared this for a long time. I have shared it before, but when I first went to work at Edwards Air Force Base in California, I was a receiving inspector for the space shuttle. And when I went there, I worked with a bunch of heathens. And the first time I mentioned God to one of my co-workers, he almost hit me. He said, if I ever do see that SOB, and he didn't say SOB, he said, I don't remember now, but he was so upset. He said, don't you ever mention God to me. Well, I didn't. But I went out there every morning, at least 1 hour early, and I spoke at the atmosphere in that place every day. I just spoke, and I just prayed. And sometimes even cry over those people. And after a few years, I could go in the office at lunchtime and all gather around and listen to God. See, I know what I'm talking about. You can change the very atmosphere you live in and the people you work with without preaching to them. In fact, there was a period before this happened that some of the guys were upset because I had a Bible on my desk. And so the manager of the company came to me and he said, Gary, you're going to have to take that Bible off your desk. I said, why? He said, well, it's offensive. I said, these guys got naked women in their toolboxes and I look at them all the time. I'm offended at that. You don't make them close their toolbox. He said, well, he said, you're going to have to take that Bible off your desk. And so I didn't. And after a day or so, Carol remembered that. He threatened to fire me. If I didn't take the Bible off the desk. He said, you come in here tomorrow and you put that Bible on your desk, you're fired. I told Carol, I ain't doing it. Went to work, put the Bible on the desk, there was never another word said about it. But they were so upset, those guys, just because I had a Bible on my desk. Every morning, I went in there at least an hour early, spoke in the atmosphere. I would sing and, you know, just enjoy God. I'll tell you, you can change the atmosphere.
Yes, sir.
And somebody walks into a place where the atmosphere has been changed. They don't even know what, they don't know what's going on. They just begin to change. We have lived so far beneath our potential because we've been religious. And we shun some people because of their lifestyle or, you know, or their belief system or whatever it is. If we can break those barriers, not any other people, break every barrier in your consciousness that would think negative about anybody.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm not telling you to throw discernment away. I'm telling you to throw judgment away.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
We don't have to agree with the way certain people live or do things. But we, and you know, I almost said we're obligated, but see, when that spirit is formed in you, there's no obligation about love. I mean, it just flows, and it flows like a river. You know what? I know so little. I don't understand what you're talking about, the God code. I have no idea. But I'm interested. I love to you know, hear and read and new things. But I'll tell you, folks, our focus has to be on manifesting this seed, this Christ, this allness of God that's on the inside of us. That's got to be our focus. Because You see, again, the purpose for the seed is to be, our purpose is to fully incarnate in these physical beings. That's our purpose. And to, like the caterpillar, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
Yeah.
This mortal shall put on immortality. And this death shall be swallowed up with his life that's on the inside of us. See, we haven't seen. Most of us haven't seen anyone that has really made it. All we know is we do the best we can, and someday we die, and if we're lucky, we'll get to go to heaven. We don't want to think about the other place that doesn't exist. There's only one destiny for you.
Amen.
I'm going to get out of the box.
Amen. Kick the wall.
But see, if the caterpillar dies before he reaches his destination, one of two things is going to happen. He's either gone forever, or he might have to do it again.
He might be another caterpillar. Amen. That's right.
You see, and if we really understand this, if God give us revelation, and look at me. But I tell you, folks, this is what we have to get a hold of.
Yes. Yes.
We have to. I say have to. God help us. I used to try everything and nothing ever worked. But see, when the life comes alive inside of you, it's not you doing anything. It is God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It has nothing to do with our old efforts and our old thing, all that trying and stuff. It has nothing to do with that. The caterpillar doesn't kill himself. There's something secreted from his brain at a certain period of time, whatever that is, and he begins a journey then that transforms his life. That's what God is happening to all over the world today.
Yes, yes, yes.
Whether it's a gene, whether, I don't understand the tech, but I know what's happening. I don't think anything like I did 15 years ago. You know, people ask me today a lot. I get asked this probably more than anything else. Do you believe in reincarnation? I have to say, I don't know, but if the caterpillar dies before he reaches his purpose, what happens? And I know people for 2,000 years, we die before we reach the full incarnation, the purpose. That's why we're here. We're physically focused in this dimension because this is where God wants to be.
Yes.
And all the Christians want to die and go to heaven. And God's trying to come to earth.
Yes.
See, I understand the bondage of religion. I was there for many years. But if you can hear God, and most people can't today, and even if they do, it sometimes doesn't line up with what they think the Bible says, and they discard it.
Well, the Bible doesn't talk about reincarnation.
Well, I think the Bible don't talk about a lot of things. It doesn't matter. Again, and I wouldn't want to get people focused on not dying, because if you get focused on not dying, you're going to miss the point. The point is to be fully conscious and aware of God being formed within you to fully reveal and manifest his glory in these vessels.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Yes, yes.
The goal isn't never dying. The goal isn't being a gifted person. The goal isn't healing and miraculous things. The goal is to manifest God in this humanity. That's the purpose. Now see, that doesn't take an educated man. You don't have to know a whole lot. But you do have to spend enough time seeking God and in his presence for that substance, that seed, to begin to sprout with new life. Think of that. If we'd have never seen an ear of corn, and all we had was a seed, we'd have no idea that that one seed... How about a little acorn? Could you, if you had never seen an oak tree, could you possibly imagine what an acorn would look like fully manifested in this physical realm? Couldn't imagine. You couldn't even imagine it. Yet, when that acorn is physically, fully manifested in this physical realm, it produces how many acorns? It produces how many trees? And that is what's, I'll tell you what, this is the most exciting time in the whole world to live.
Yes.
Because these seeds are coming to fullness and maturity. And when they do, there'll be such an explosion. You talk about speaking in power and with the Spirit, with the maturity of Spirit that's coming to us, you'll literally be able to speak life into someone. We're doing that now in a small way.
Amen.
I can't tell. I know. You know what? I know. You know, we say we believe things, but you know what? You don't really know anything until you've experienced it. You don't know. All of us sitting here right now, we don't know. Most, hardly anything. Ah, but when you begin to experience. We've literally have experienced people from all over the world say they've been changed just by listening to a tape or reading a book. You see, there is so much of God's substance in us. And if we really begin to believe that, it'll give you the driving force that you need to bring it out. Every one of us here tonight, if we really, really believed that we could manifest the fullness of God as Jesus did, we'd all do anything we could do. But see, that's the purpose. The purpose isn't to live a few years, do the best you can, and then die. You know, Des Walter has said, I've heard him say so many times in the last couple of years, it's just not right. People get to be 70 and 80 years old, and they're just coming into an understanding of spiritual things, and then they die. That should not be. And you cannot, you know, you have to go back and listen to some of the stuff Jesus said. Your fathers, they ate that manna in the wilderness, and what happened to them? They died. But if you eat the bread that I give you, if you will learn to eat and drink the food that I give you, you will never die.
Hallelujah.
And then people say, he wasn't talking about physical death. Well, what was he talking about? That's why Lynn started out tonight. We need to repent. And repent simply means to change your mind. And the first thing we have to change is our perception of our very own being.
Yes, right.
Because if you do not change the perception of your own being, you'll never get it. There's
no place to go.
There's no place to go. The only place that we can go for truth is inside of us.
Amen.
See, our mind is the biggest prison that's ever been known. Everything is locked up in the mind. You know, if God perchance would give us a vision of our true self, I'm talking about there's so much of you that you've never seen. You know what? You're a glorified being right now. But most of it is still out there. And that's why Paul, that's true, there's only a small portion of your essence that's focused in this physical being. But the purpose is to bring the full seed into maturity. You can believe it or not, but there are some people who have made it. The full ear of corn. If God would give us a vision of our true being, you would fall at your own feet. Because you are absolutely, unbelievably, indescribably beautiful.
Yes.
What did Paul say? We don't look at the temporal. The temporal is that which is passing away. But we look, what? At the eternal. So I would encourage you to ask God to give you a vision of your true being. And maybe you won't see it, you know, with physical eyes, but it's even much better to see it with spiritual eyes. Hallelujah. For this corruptible must, listen, what did we do? Where has this been? We must put on incorruption. And the people that are focusing on never dying, most of them don't realize that unless you become incorruptible in experience, you are dying.
That's right.
You don't live forever as a corruptible being. So this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must, not just must, put on immortality. How do we do that? I don't know. But I know you can't fail if you learn how to love. Love is, God is what? Love. He's love and light. Everything that you could ever hope to be, anything that you could ever desire to be, is right here. You are it. Don't look anywhere else. Get acquainted with who you are.
Amen.
Just think about it. You know, that's why you've met people, well, maybe you have, but I have, people that couldn't read. They would be so full of love. One time, it was in the bicentennial of 76, me and my family went to Boston for the bicentennial celebration. And while we were there, my brother lived in Boston, and he was telling me about this lady who could command the presence of God. He said, anytime she wants, she can just command the presence of God, and God fills the room. I said, I got to meet this lady. So me and my sister, my brother, and my mother went to visit this lady. And one of the first things I said, I've heard that you can command the presence of God. Oh, yes, she says. It is just wonderful. I said, how can you do that? Oh, she said, it's easy. And she just opened her mouth and she began to speak the most beautiful expression of the love of God. And immediately all of us began to weep with the presence of God. She was a Seventh-day Adventist that wouldn't even tear off a roll of toilet paper on Saturday because it was a Sabbath. See, it's not about what you know. It's about your being.
Yes.
It's okay to be a Seventh-day Adventist. It's okay to be a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Pentecostal. It's okay if you want to be a Buddhist. But if you will just let God develop that hunger within you, and that desire, it's so impossible to the natural man. But yet, we know all things are possible with God, but not with God out here somewhere. All things are possible with God, the substance, the essence, the brightness of God is all right here. Well, it's everywhere. But God so desires. You know, I say God, and I could say it this way. You so desire to be focused fully in this physical realm. And that's why you're here. You're You're not here to be religious. You're not here to lead a life of prayer and warfare and get caught up in all that religious stuff.
Amen.
You're here because this is the place where God Himself is expanding in this physical realm.
That's right.
Can you hear that? God is literally expanding Himself through you. Now I could say it this way. You are literally experiencing new things through this physical being. I could say you or I can say God. No difference. Am I far enough out of the box yet? A guy called me about a year ago. I'd give a message and I talked about vibration and I talked about so many things. And he said, "Brother, you're not only out of the box, you blew it up." Would to God that we'd all blow up our boxes.
Yeah.
Because I've said so much now, I couldn't go back to religion if I wanted to. They wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole. We can't go back, and we don't really want to.
Right.
You know what? I want to go back and give them life. Carol and I was asked to speak in a Southern Baptist church one day. Oh my God, that was the deadest place. We went in there and it was like a spiritual refrigerator. And when I got up to speak, just shared some simple things about the love of God. I mean, those people, you could see their eyes begin to brighten. So yes, people in religion are dead, but when they hear light, what happens? They come alive.
Yeah.
And that pastor was so impressed that he literally offered me his church. He said, "I've been here for X amount of years, and in one message you did more for these people than I've done in years." And he offered me the church. I mean, that's... Would to God we'd have more pastors like that. Not that I want churches, but but I'm sure he's doing fine today, because with a heart like that, you're not going to get left behind.
That's right.
I mean, we're in for the most glorious, magnificent transition. And it's taking place. People all over the world today, even in all the various religions, are talking about a great awakening. And a great happening. A lot of them are connecting it with 2012, and that may be. I hope it's that soon. I hope something happens soon. But, you know, you can tell. If you look back over your life, you can tell whether or not you've changed. And if you haven't, you're missing something. Because life always changes. Dead things don't change. I could go back to the church I was raised in. In fact, I was back there last week in California. Well, I wasn't raised there, but it was one of the churches I went. Same thing if I went back to where I was confirmed when I was 12 years old and go to that service. It hasn't changed one note. They still say the same liturgy and everything. Nothing has changed. It's like going to a funeral parlor. You see, dead things don't change. And at the same time, I don't want to sound like I'm against religion, because that's where some people need to be right now. And that's okay. But thank God when you get stirred up enough and you get hungry for something more than you have. See, that's that. Whatever that is secreted in the caterpillar, it's secreted in us. And we begin to desire more. And we begin our journey out of religion into the good land. The good land. It's an inward journey. From the deepest recesses of our being, we are being transformed into His image. Just think of that. And it's not necessarily a corporate event we're talking about here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you could be changed. Now, I experienced that on a lesser level in 1982. After 13 years of religious struggle and seeking God, I woke up on July 11th, 1982. It was like the caterpillar and the butterfly. It was like, It was a brand new life. It was like, I knew I was born again 13 years before. But on July 11th, 1982, after 13 years of seeking, I awoke never to be desperate again, not to be depressed anymore, not to have to fight sin anymore, not to have to cry and beg. I don't even have to search for God anymore. That may sound strange. But if you have something, you don't have to search for it. I spent 13 years searching for it, and I found the treasure.
Yeah, amen.
And it was in me.
Yeah.
I've often said that I spent 13 years looking for something that all the time was inside of me. And when it woke up within me. And I have not ever been perfect since July 11th, 1982. I still make mistakes. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about, see, that's a wonderful experience, but think of it when the full ear of corn blossoms. And you become this glorious, magnificent light being that you already are. It's just not manifested. Well, it is manifested. All of you are manifesting it to a degree. We all are. But the fullness, I believe, is very close for some of us. Amen.
Amen.